Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program On Every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. We have a great show today with our friends Frank Facciano. Frank, welcome back.
Thank
you. Of course,
you.
The COO of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber. And we'd like to welcome Alex Michaels, the CEO of Discover Lehigh Valley. Welcome, gents.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet, Alex. Well, most of our listeners know about Discover Lehigh Valley. There may be a few who don't know, yeah. So let's refresh them. Tell us a little bit about Discover Lehigh Valley. What do you do?
Well, that's my job, is to try to get you guys to figure out who we are and what we do. We're known as a destination marketing organization for the region. We're basically focused on tourism. We're trying to bring people to the valley and have awareness of the valley, of all the great assets that we have here. So our first and foremost job is to build brand awareness around this region, and then and additionally bringing conferences, events, and conventions to the area. And then in addition to that, we're working together with some of our partners like the Chamber and Economic Development to continue to brand this area as a place to bring your business to come work and play. I guess we'll get in more of that later, but it's a great region that we have some great leaders here, so we're excited about what we're doing on that part.
There's a path to becoming the CEO of Discover Lehigh Valley, and you've made several stops along the way, which is normal. You started by serving our country.
Kind of.
About 20 years ago.
Yeah, kind of. I'll go back just a tad more. I moved to the Lehigh Valley back in 1984. My parents were in New Jersey, and they had to make a decision between coming to Lehigh Valley or moving to Orlando, Florida. I, of course, voted for Orlando, Florida, thinking I was going to be hanging out at Disney all the time.
Sure.
So anyway, we ended up moving to Lehigh Valley. They weren't really sure where we were going to, you know, where to buy a house. So we ended up moving to Whitehall. We rented a home in Whitehall and immediately kind of learned the area, you know, a little bit. And, you know, back then it was, you know, I was in high school, so there wasn't a lot for me to do at that point. You know, it was a culture shock here being from northern New Jersey, but immediately fell in love with the area, got really tied into sports. And I'm a huge Whitehall fan, as you can imagine. And then had the option to really leave the area and go to college, but at the time my mom was getting sick, and then I ended up going to school at East Charles University, which was good for me because actually is where I met my then girlfriend and now wife of almost 26 years. Once I graduated from East Charles, my wife and I were very fortunate. We took an internship with Walt Disney World. I still kind of had that Orlando bug in my head, and
you can learn a lot about marketing from the mouse.
Yeah, and it was just a great opportunity. We liked the idea of moving to Florida, but we also liked the idea of working for this huge brand, this huge corporation, and learning more about hospitality and all they had to offer. So we were very, very fortunate. To this day, I really attribute a lot of my success because of my background at Disney, and it really opened a lot of doors for me because of the experiences there, the growth that we had while we were there. But it was such an amazing experience. In that time frame, when my wife got pregnant back in 1997, she got really homesick for the Lehigh Valley and wanted to be near family. So at that time, I really wasn't ready to leave Disney, but I said, you know, if this is what you want to do, we'll come back. And I ended up finding a position in a company up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, worked here remotely for a couple of years. I was living back in Whitehall. We were trying to raise a family, working for this wholesale travel company who actually the product was Disney. So it was easy for me. So I was out selling this region. And unfortunately, things changed in the world, you know, and there was changes in flights and commissions and things like that. So in 2001, the company filed bankruptcy. People were just not buying travel the way they were before.
Right.
So at that point, I tell people a lot of times, even though I was in my early 30s, I kind of went through a middle-age crisis, and I decided to convince my wife that it was a good idea that I would go into the military. Part of the reason behind it was I really just wanted to prove myself that it was. I always had this interest in it, and I was always athletic, and I was like, you know, can I get myself back in that kind of shape? I was expecting it to be so incredibly hard, but we looked at it. We kind of decided this was a good move for our family. And I think I shortly told you a little bit before that everything was kind of planned out. And then fortunately, unfortunately for us, my first day of military service was 9/11.
Wow.
So things really changed. You know, I had gone in the military planning to become a paramedic, EMT, you know, maybe going into medical, which we did some of it. I worked in hospitals when I was in the military. I worked as a dental tech. I worked as a supply officer. I worked as a surgical tech. So there was a lot of medical behind it. But as you can imagine, the world changed for everyone that day, and it did for us as well. But the military really was a great kind of break in the hospitality career. Kind of regrounded us as a family. It kind of really gave us a perspective of where our life was going and where we wanted to be and how we wanted to raise our child at the time. So we continued and, had a great military career. I was the number one sailor out of boot camp. I ended up becoming the Navy Sailor of the Year in 2002 or 3.
Really?
Yeah. So I had a really great Navy career and everything was going well. But I was stationed at the time at the end of 2004 in Camp Pendleton, getting ready to deploy with the Marines to Iraq and getting training, what we call field med training. And at the time, I had developed some really bad allergies. And because of this inhaler, I ended up having to use an inhaler for my allergies, and it made me non-deployable. So at that point, I had, again, kind of hit that screeching stop. I'm like, what am I going to do now? Like, I'm kind of back to this 2001. You know, my company is not really needing me anymore because I'm non-deployable. So long story short, we decided to say, hey, we're going to move forward. We're going to move on to something else. And we decided, we said, hey, what do we want to do? Do we want to go back to Pennsylvania, or should we go back to Florida? What do we do? So we ended up moving back to Florida, mainly because we thought it was a better opportunity for hospitality.
Jacksonville?
No, I went right to Daytona Beach. We actually, I had spent a lot of my childhood going to the Ormond Beach and being down there, and I kind of felt like it was a great little community to raise your family. When I got there, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so you go back to what you know best, and I knew hospitality, so I started working at a hotel, and shortly after, the Convention and Visitors Bureau there recruited me to come on board. And then that's where I started my really DMO.
It's really competitive, isn't it?
For it to be a destination marketing or in hotel?
Destination marketing in general is really competitive.
Yeah, but you figure there's only one destination marketer in each destination, so there's not that many. In some of the organizations could be as small as 10 people, can be as large as 30, 40. But for the most part, I always tell people, if I lose my job or if I move on from my job, I have to move. It's not like a situation where I stay in one place. We went to Daytona and in Jacksonville at the time, my daughter was one of the nationally ranked swimmers, even as a young child. And there was this incredible program in Jacksonville, Florida, a school called Bulls. So we ended up partially moving there for my career, but partially moving or giving my daughter an opportunity to be in this program. So I was fortunate. Started my career at Daytona in DMO and then moved over to Jacksonville, where I really learned a lot. I spent about 8 years there kind of in the sales area, really bringing in big conferences, conventions, events, and they're representing over 17,000 hotel rooms and multiple partners. So it was an incredible experience. And then I fast forward into 2015. I had to make a decision. I was up for either become the next CEO for Visit Jacksonville or move on to something else. And my daughter at the time was up in Manhattan going to school at FIT. And I kind of decided, this might be a good time to change, or let's see what happens. So Jacksonville was kind of dragging her feet a little bit, and I was starting to get antsy, so I was given the opportunity to work for an area called Virginia's Blue Ridge, which is Roanoke, Virginia.
Right.
Beautiful area, and what was good for me, and it was a great training ground for what was going to come next here in the Lehigh Valley, because it was the first time I had experience working with 5 different governments, working with a region, trying to promote a region that no one is really, it's not on a map. Virginia's Blue Ridge is not on a map, just like Lehigh Valley. You know, it was Roanoke, it was Botetourt, it was all these different counties, Salem.
Is it more difficult to promote a region than it is a city?
It can be in some cases because you're dealing with multiple governments, multiple agencies. You're still dealing with different types of resources there. So, and also because it's not a nationally known brand in some cases. So Virginia's Blue Ridge was kind of started a little shortly before I got there. And we were kind of promoting an area that people had heard the Blue Ridge, knew Virginia. Mm-hmm. But when until the first question, we used to have to tell people, oh, we're in Virginia's Blue Ridge. Well, where's that? We sit 30 miles outside of Blacksburg, Virginia, which a lot of people know for Virginia Tech. We're close to James Madison University, and we're sitting here on the Roanoke River. But we'd spend a lot of time talking about that. And then when I moved to the Valley, I'm like, oh, I kind of know why my path went to Virginia.
And you've been here for how long now?
I'm sorry. I got back. I was fortunate to get back here October of 2018. It was interesting because at the time I was interviewing for 3 different locations. And when my wife and I came here for the interview, we discussed it. We actually drove home from here to Virginia. And she said, what do you want to do? And I said, well, they're not going to make a decision here in the Lehigh Valley for a while. And I said, but if I'm going to have to step off the other position. So we basically put all our eggs in this basket to come back to Lehigh Valley. And the reason I tell you that is because we were just so excited as a family to come back to this area that we grew up. We saw the changes here and all the great things that were happening. I mean, the region had just really exploded. It wasn't a secret to us, but it was definitely a secret to other parts of the country. So we saw this as a tremendous opportunity. So I was really excited when I got the word. And July of 18 that I was going to be coming here. I was we were waiting for the previous CEO to retire, and so fortunately I did a little overlap with him when I came on board. But then shortly after, we kind of hit the ground running. And like any organizations, you look at what's, you know, what are we doing well? What could we do better? What kind of experiences that I've had from other areas that I can bring here? So that's really what I've been doing the first few months, was really evaluating the area, meeting leaders like Frank and Tony and Don, and really kind of hearing them out. You know, what are the things we need to do, and what are the things we need to do to work together? I've really, since I've been here, really preached collaboration. I've preached that we need to work together.
How do these partnerships work? Now, it's so important, especially in a region.
Sure.
Who do you draw on the most?
I think just having collaboration, having partners like the Chamber and LVDC and partners in our industry, and our industry partners like ArtsQuest and Dorney Park and Margitol, all these great partners, we've kind of decided we can do this by ourselves and we can market ourselves alone, or we can market together, and that's what we're trying to do. We all have limited resources and we all have limited reach. But our approach has been, hey, can we, you know, it's like anything else. You know, I tease people, when my daughter was in Manhattan, we couldn't afford an apartment by herself, but we had to get five people to basically support it. So we basically all split the rent. And that's kind of how we look at
I was really surprised at all the people that you had at your lunch a few months back.
Yeah.
Everybody was there.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody's invested around here in the success of the Lehigh Valley. I mean, we've been working on the Lehigh Valley as a region for 25, 30 years, you know, and it takes a while. As Alex said, it's not something that appears on a map. So to tell the story and the assets that we have in the proximity to the cities.
Yeah.
If I could just backtrack, we have a unique advantage, I think, here in this area, especially now with the leadership in place, that we have the Discover Lehigh Valley, market the area outside the area to attract visitors,
right.
And as well as enhance the assets that are here. We have the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, market the valley outside the valley to attract businesses and talent to come here, and then the Chamber to bring businesses in the valley together to work with each other. And with the leadership at each three, Alex at Discover, Don Cunningham at LVEDC, and Tony Iannelli at the Chamber, we are all on the same page now and really firing on all cylinders, I think, and working together to get the job done.
Yeah.
It's a terrific group. The outreach is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk about the specific assets that make up the Lehigh Valley. You're listening to On Every Main Street, and I'm Greg Caponia.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to On Every Main Street. You're with Frank Facciano and Alex Michaels from Discover Lehigh Valley. Alex, you don't have to be a member, so to speak, now of Discover Lehigh Valley. You're actually, if you're business, you're in.
Yeah, anybody who's interested in being a member of Discover Lehigh Valley, you know, I encourage you to go to discoverlehighvalley.com and go on to the membership page and become a member. Our goal is to work together with these organizations and market the region. And if you're an entity like trying to bring tourism into the valley, you know, let's work together to bring those tourism here.
Frank, what's the biggest thing that the Chamber does to help Discover Lehigh Valley?
Right now, so we are part of the Made Possible in Lehigh Valley Alliance, which is, again, Discover Lehigh Valley, Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, and Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. And the idea is that we are in every community and have access to Lots of volunteers and lots of people in those communities regarding the telling of stories of what's possible to be here in the Valley. And so this new initiative, this new campaign, this new thing made possible in the Lehigh Valley is something you're going to be hearing a lot about. So it brings the three of us together to work more closely together. We actually have there's a position now that's going to coordinate this effort. And again, it kind of flips what economic development's been doing a little bit on its head, where it was to market the assets of the Valley to attract businesses to come here and to brag about our great workforce, certainly. Sure. But the focus now is to attract the people and the talent, to make the Valley an attractive place to visit, to work, to learn here. We have a great higher education system, and to live here. And then we have the base and the workforce that's attractive, along with our geography and our assets that will attract businesses, and very excited about it.
And that kind of starts with tourism, doesn't it?
Well,
people show up and they like the Lehigh Valley and they say, you know, I could raise my family here.
Yeah. Well, tourists are interested, I think, in some of the same things as people relocating here, of course. You know, what's the quality of life? When I get there, what's there going to be to do? And we know that the generation, the millennials, if you will, are interested mostly in the attributes of the area they're going to move to. I mean, what's there to do, what's there to visit, and then the job is almost the second consideration. But I find an area that I really like, and then I'm going to get a job there, which is different than the way certainly you and I did it, right?
Yeah. Really, it is. I met somebody the other day, and they said, you know, we moved here because I found a place to ride my bike.
Yeah.
And that's really important to me. So they were interested in being here because of the way they could exercise.
Exactly.
And again, old school would be, I found a job, it's in the Lehigh Valley, now what do I do when I get there? And I think it's a brilliant change of strategy to say that the area is a place to be and you can get a job here.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunities here, and marketing it together really gives us a further reach in the brand. And, you know, now we're working together, specifically economic development and Discover Lehigh Valley. We're saying, you know what, tourism is economic development's first date. So this gives an opportunity for us to kind of do that marketing in these areas. Like, and we're working even with our airport. We're looking at opportunities. You know, we have nonstops going to all these great destinations, you know, Chicago, Atlanta. We're adding a lot of flights to
Nashville,
you know, so there's some great opportunities there. So we're working even in conjunction with our partner, our great partners at the airport, who's having a tremendous year as well. So it's really just having this conversation of saying, we're storytellers by trade. Our job as a destination marketer is to storytell, to tell the story of why you should come here and learn here and live here. So really, everyone has kind of the same thing. If you're, you know, if you're a recruitment person at Lehigh University, you're trying to recruit students to the Lehigh Valley,
sure.
and you're competing with places like New York and Boston, and you have to tell that story why Lehigh Valley, and that's really what this Made Possible campaign is. It's telling that story of what made you select this location, what brought it to life. And what is the quality of life aspects that are here and all these great assets? You know, we have these amazing festivals all year long. We have great outdoors with mountain biking and cycling and running and trails, the D&L Heritage Corridor. And then you have here in downtown Bethlehem, we have this historic Moravian site that is now on the UNESCO World Heritage tentative list. And I can just go on for hours.
Very rich history, very rich industrial history.
Yeah.
And so again, just to... The stories, folks these days are not so interested in what Alex thinks of the Valley and what Frank thinks of the Valley. They want to see what their peers think of the Valley.
Sure.
And that's the thrust of the Made Possible in Lehigh Valley campaign. It's heavy use of Instagram and stories, success stories by and of the people.
How do you prioritize the stories for the message? To get the people to hit that Instagram, to look at the social media?
Again, it's a little different these days. We don't prioritize them. We get them out there, and the audience prioritizes
them. Got it.
Right? And we want the stories to be authentic. We look at opportunities. We just recently worked on a video with, I don't know if you're familiar with Valley Preferred Cycling, the Velodrome. And most of the times you would create a video, it's kind of commercially, it kind of talks to you about the facility, and you're like, oh, that'd be cool, I might get over there one day. But we took a different angle. We made a made possible story of one of the cyclists there who's now working on to become an Olympian, and her journey to become, and how Valley Preferred Cycling is helping her get here and her experiences here in the Valley. So it's a different angle. It's an opportunity to tell a story of this, how this facility and this area has really changed her life and is helping her to get to her goals. And there's stories everywhere. You have a story. I have a story. Everyone has a story of what led him
but
or her.
But you have to get that story out.
The social media, Instagram as a
great way to
I guess the foundation, and you can tell so many more stories than you can fit in a brochure or on a website. It's amazing when things go viral, quote unquote, they really go.
Yeah, you know? People are just shopping differently nowadays. Yeah. You know, you're really looking for areas that are unique. You know, we talk about every main street here in the Lehigh Valley.
Sure.
People are looking for places like this where they can be a part of the community when they're traveling. They don't just want to be in a commercialized area. So the Lehigh Valley has amazing, a lot of offerings, but what sets it apart is the people, the pride here. The roots that have been grown here, and you can see when you look out your window right here, you see the old and the new, and it's
sure
amazing
do.
How they've repurposed a lot of these buildings and a lot of these places. You know, when I came back and I looked at steel stacks, I'm like, what an amazing attraction on its own right. You know, I remember going to a music fest in 1984. I was, you know, the first music fest, maybe a couple hundred thousand people. Maybe I'm over exaggerating that number, but it was small. And now it's over, 1.3 million people.
One,
so
yeah.
People are starting to take notice.
Who can become an ambassador? I understand you're doing an ambassador's program now.
Everything that we've looked at in our strategic...
To tell these stories.
Yeah.
Right?
In all of our strategic planning, one of the things we talked about is, you know, one of the things that really sets the Lehigh Valley apart is the pride. I think people that live here are so proud of this area. But so we're all kind of tourism ambassadors. When we came in, we knew of an organization that had a nationally accredited certification program. And we said, you know, I think it would be cool to bring that to Lehigh Valley. And one of the natural areas for us was to look at our community college. We have a fantastic hospitality school at Northampton Community College. And we partnered with them and said, hey, wouldn't it be great if all of your students would graduate with a certified tourism ambassador, be a certified tourism ambassador for Lehigh Valley, and then become even more marketable to the employers? And in addition to that, I mean, we're all ambassadors. You know, why aren't we saying, hey, you know what? I'm an ambassador of Lehigh Valley. This is the reasons why you should be here. You should travel here. You should learn here. So this program will be launched in the fall in conjunction with Northampton Community College. And we're going to be reaching out to the community and saying, if you're interested and you want to tell your story, you're in some kind of entity where you're meeting people, please consider this program. It's a half-day course. It's nationally accredited. You'll literally come out with the certificate and your star pin of the Lehigh Valley. But the most importantly, you can really be proud and say, you know what, I'm educated now on all the things that are to do here.
So back in my hotel days, the Lehigh Valley Convention and Visitors Bureau, the predecessor of Discover Lehigh Valley, it wasn't a certified course, but they did this familiarization events every year. And we wanted our frontline employees to know that. We don't want somebody behind the front desk, hey, what's there to do around here? Oh, no. And while the folks around here, it serves two purposes. The folks that grew up here need refresher courses on what to do. But again, as any growing community, there's people here from other places now. So to educate the front line, I think you're, is it a requirement to be on your board to get ambassador certification?
I'm going to try to make it that way.
And our board as well should, and certainly our staff at the chamber are ambassadors, and so a certification would be great for them as well. It's a really good idea.
It's another way that we can continue to work together and show the pride of the Lehigh Valley, and we can lead people to that area. Whenever I travel, one of the first things I do is I hop into a cab or an Uber, and one of the first things I ask the people, hey, how's your area? What's going on? And, you know, what's there to do? I mean, I'm just feeling the person out for the pulse. And you know, one of the most disheartening things you get is get into a cab or an Uber and the person's like, oh, there's nothing to do here. This place is miserable. It's probably
either
sometimes
a negative or no answer at all. Really bad.
And it's one of the first impressions you make of a community that you're traveling to. So we take it to heart that no matter where you are in the Valley, you're in a restaurant, you're in a museum, you're at Arts Quest, you're at a festival. We want people to speak proudly of it and tell people that this is the place to be.
The more you know, the more proud you will be.
Sure, absolutely.
You know? And Frank was kind of saying it. Like, there's people that, you know, we laugh, you know, let's say it's Emmaus. We want to make sure people that live in Emmaus are exploring Easton and taking that. It's not as far as it used to be. We used to tease, like, oh, where are you going today? I'm going out of town. Where are you going? I'm going to Easton. I'm in Whitehall. You know, so no, the area is so easy to get around right now. People will complain about the traffic, but 2278, you can get around pretty quickly. You can get pretty much any point in the valley within 20, 30 minutes. Or even shorter.
We know a lot of folks transplanted from other areas, and they hear the discussion about the traffic here, and they're like, what traffic?
Yeah, it just depends.
They move from D.C. or they move from Ashburn.
Yeah, there's definitely traffic concerns no matter where you live, but I definitely wouldn't compare it to an Atlanta or D.C. or Orlando or any of these places.
There are no two-hour commutes.
Not yet, hopefully not.
Not to get across the valley.
No.
But other than that, not only do the people in Lehigh Valley need to explore the area itself, but we want to continue to get further reach. We're looking to get people from Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, and these metropolitan areas to really explore this area. Look at all the green spaces that we have here and all the great things.
We have about a minute and a half left.
Sure.
Give us the pitch.
Give us the pitch. I wish I had one final pitch. I encourage not only the people in the Lehigh Valley and the community to really get out and explore, to really take a look at your community and take the time to really be a part of it and not, you know, to get out of the mindset that there's nothing to do here, because there's really a lot. And really, I encourage them to not only come to our site, to come to all of our areas to look at that. In addition to that, if you're a visitor or you're a college student or somebody who's looking to come to the Valley, you really have to consider this as an amazing place, because you're going to be able to not only get your education or potentially move here to work. There's opportunities for everyone here, and I think if you discover, you take the time to discover it or explore it, you're going to find that this community can serve multiple demographics. And
if you have a great story about your life in the Lehigh Valley, you go to lvmadepossible.com and tell it.
Yeah.
lvmadepossible.com.
Yeah.
We have listeners in all 50 states due to technology and throughout Europe and Asia, and it's a great opportunity if you're listening in one of these other states or other countries, and you think you're coming to New York, because a lot of times people think the United States is either New York or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We're only about an hour and 15 minutes away from wherever you may be going.
And I think it's the first thing in the Lehigh Valley Guide.
Absolutely. So easy to get here.
To Philadelphia
and
New
York. History is fantastic.
To most of the people in the United States.
I tell people a lot of times, we have first-tier amenities without the first-tier headaches. You know, we have and affordability is amazing here, too. So,
Alex, thank you for coming by today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Frank, as always. See you again.
Love being here, Greg. Thank you.
You are listening to On Every Main Street. I'm your host, Greg Caponia, and you are listening to WDIY.
Up next on WDIY 88.1 FM, news headlines from NPR, followed by our Monday night folk program, Folk Classics.